This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. We are back after the break from the holidays and are ready to kick off the first of the 2017 season. And I'm producing this episode, episode 89, from Washington, D.C. Coming up, you'll hear from several new members of Congress hailing from Florida.
I mean, it's a great day to be here with so many of your colleagues and to realize that you finally made the Congress to work for the people in 5th District.
That's Congressman Al Lawson, who is taking over the newly drawn 5th District from former Congresswoman Corinne Brown. Or Corrine Brown, rather. I always get it mixed up.
Only to have Donald Trump, Zeus, thunder down his tweet, and then suddenly they change their vote even before we get to our rules vote today. So, I think no one fully understands the dynamics around here yet.
That's Congressman Darren Soto, the first Puerto Rican member of Congress from Florida. We'll also catch up with Annette Tadeo, a former congressional candidate and running mate of former governor and freshman congressman Charlie Crist. He's back. And in bizarre political news, Governor Rick Scott did this.
I have reached out to President-elect Trump and spoken to him and Vice President-elect Pence multiple times to keep them informed. And they told me whatever resources that we need for the federal government, they would do everything in their power to make that happen.
Following yet another senseless killing spree at Fort Lauderdale International Airport. Keep in mind, we do have President Barack Obama. And speaking of the Obamas, want to know how I got access to the White House during the Obamas' final star-studded party before they leave office? It was certainly a night to remember. Stay tuned. Welcome to The Rotunda, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. This is a trip I can only describe as amazing. Last minute, unplanned, and packed with exclusive access.
We're in the White House press briefing room.
Now, this podcast is about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. It was launched in 2015, and we've been going strong ever since. Now it's time to take the show on the road, and we're here in Washington, the nation's capital. My strategy was to catch as many lawmakers as possible during the swearing-in of the 115th Congress. My first stop was to check out Congressman Charlie Crist. His office, remember, this is how he described where he's going to be located in the Cannon Building.
Well, for your listeners, it's kind of funny in Congress. For the freshman class, there are 50 of us. We pick out of a barrel, if you will, a number from 1 to 50. And if you get number one, you get the first pick of the offices available in Washington. And, the higher it is, the worse it is. Well, I picked number 50, so it couldn't have been any worse in terms of the pick.
Now get this, I showed up. His office is really nice. In my humble opinion, Crist scored big. Anyway, it was the open house, and I bumped into a familiar face, Annette Tadeo, who lost her bid to Congress to Joe Garcia. But she was visiting friends who made it all the way, like Crist. They, as you may remember, were running mates for governor. So this is what we decided to do, office hop together. So I'm hanging with Annette Tadeo and her daughter, Sophia. And I'm inviting you to come along for our journey as we run around the office buildings in Washington, D.C. We're actually breaking all the protocols, well, just some of them. Here we are in the members-only elevator. Sophia is talking with California Congressman Jared Huffman.
Not a member of Congress.
So here's the deal. This sometimes lights up.
Oh,
when it lights
you, Mom,
up,
it still has the same.
That means votes are pending, and during pending votes, they try to keep it as
apart.
But that's the only time anyone really cares.
You do.
That's good to know.
Jared.
Wait, where are we going?
We're
supposed to be up before.
Yeah. Sophia. Mommy.
So in the numbers.
After we visit one person, can we go to a Pokemon and then we'll go?
And she is more interested in Pokemon. Word on the street is that Washington, D.C. has some of the best Pokemon finds around.
The Pokemon is about to leave and it's really good, and D.C. has better Pokemon than Miami because Miami sucks.
1429.
All right, so we are heading to New Congressman Darren Soto. He's the first Puerto Rican from Florida to make it to Congress. And we're headed to his office. While we're waiting, I decided to catch up and hear what Annette Tadeo is up to.
Welcome to the Rotunda. How does it feel? What are you doing here today?
Great to be back. What am I doing here? I'm celebrating that a lot of my friends got into Congress, including Charlie Crist, and Val Demings, and Darren Soto, and so many wonderful people from Florida.
Yeah, a very close friend. You were once soon to be Lieutenant Governor of Florida.
Yes, very close election.
And many elections later, and then subsequently you ran for Congress.
Yes,
as
this
well.
Time, yes.
And it was very close.
Very close,
I think 50 to, I don't even know the exact number, but it was a close margin.
Yes, about 1%, 700 or so votes to be exact, so very close.
So what's next for you following that?
You know, I think, you know, once you're a fighter and you are somebody that really believes in public service, you just never really stop. And I've never needed a title or a position to be, you know, just a person that continues to speak on behalf of working people and women and minorities. I just think, you know, our country is going through a interesting and challenging political times. And, you know, I just think we can't walk away. We have to continue to stay engaged. I think people realize now more than ever how important it is to stay truly engaged.
Yeah.
How are you?
There he is.
I'm Scarlett Nice. Tracy Pfeiffer with Rutgers.
Hey, nice
Steve
to meet
Ruben
you.
And Alex Herman.
Oh, how's it going, my love?
Very excited.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Want to do
sure, sure,
Let's
sure.
Yeah.
All right, that was Annette Tadeo, former congressional candidate.
I may go around. And
okay, we'll catch up.
And now I will continue my conversation, since now is the time before gets down to business on the floor. Let's catch up with him on his first few hours officially installed as congressman.
How is it from man, sitting downtown in Tallahassee, dealing with small town politics, to now being here in D.C.?
Well, I could tell you, whether it was Tallahassee or whether it's Washington, these are still issues that affect people, whether it's, you know, the state domain of criminal laws and of state environmental issues and issues that were near and dear to me with our state constitution, or whether it's now national defense, or it's our economy, or fighting for the environment on a federal level, which is of deep interest to me. You know, it's all still something I take very seriously, and I'm thrilled to be here. We know it's going to be a challenge ahead, fighting to protect the progress that we made under President Obama, and I think it'll be interesting to see the interplay between the House and the Senate. Obviously, the Senate's much more balanced, so I expect you'll see a fight in the House, and it'd be very busy, but I think you have to watch the Senate and the interplay between both chambers to really get a sense of what's happening around here. Perfect example today of the chaos is, you know, last night the GOP caucus voted to terminate the independent investigatory powers of the Committee on Congressional Ethics, only to have Donald Trump, Zeus, thunder down his tweet, and then suddenly they change their vote even before we get to our rules vote today. So, you know, I think no one fully understands the dynamics around here yet. And so, much like having gotten settled into the Fighting 14 in the Senate for 4 years and a Governor Scott dynamic in a very conservative House, the dynamic here is still going to be determined. But we know it's going to be a fight ahead, and we'll find common ground where we can, but we'll stick up for our values.
So you covered a lot of stuff I was going to ask you about. So what is it like being here? What is it like getting adjusted? Do you even know what building this is? How long have you been here walking around the Capitol and knowing the different offices and stuff like that? What is it like?
Well, I can tell you, I know where we're at. This is the Longworth Building. I drew a great lottery pick, 12 out of 50, unlike some of my peers. And And so I wanted to be in this building because it would be accessible to constituents, and there's no construction going down here. And there's also a lot of veterans around here, mentors for us. D.C. is a familiar place for me because I went to law school here. So when I'm around the city, it's really memories of a long time ago in 2004 and before when I went to school here. The policy, you know, if you run the campaign right, you are delving deeply into the policy. I've always felt like you need to know stuff to run for office. And so I've given a lot of the issues that we're facing a lot of in-depth research. But certainly one can't know everything in the giant sphere of federal issues. And so there's learning to be had. But I look to mentors of different issues. And then, of course, usually we'll come to specialize. I think a lot of that will still be up in the air depending on what committees I get on, but environment's always been one of my wheelhouse areas. Judiciary and the environment, and constitutional rights have been a big issue. But I could find myself dealing with national defense or potentially with agriculture, some of the other areas and needs of our state. So, you know, stay tuned. We haven't gotten our committee assignments yet, so that'll be a lot of where our direction will be. But overall, D.C. is starting to become familiar again. Mm-hmm. But I'll be looking forward to taking that flight just about every weekend back to Orlando to the good weather and to make sure to be accessible to my constituents.
What can we expect from you, your main focus or your top priority walking in, whether it's in the first few days here or the first month? What's going to be the thing that you're going to be spearheading and hoping to win back for your constituents?
Well, all politics is local, and so there's a lot of projects in the district that we'd like to see come to fruition, whether it be something as simple as an airport tower in Kissimmee or Lake Wales, whether it be a more complex concept of bolstering our tech clusters, whether in the district, whether it be simulation, sensors, biotech, we have commercial space flight on the coast. You know, a lot of these are going to be key to creating more higher-paying jobs. We need to finish up I-4 on budget and on time. You'd be surprised how many people who listen to this will really care about that, as well as the improvements we're making at the airport and making sure our veterans are taken care of at the VA and also taking care of our farmers. We have the number one cattle-producing county in the state and the number two citrus-producing county. So it's a diverse district with diverse needs, but I'd say most of my priorities come from the local needs, and I'm up here in Washington trying to get those done. That's how I was in Tallahassee, and that's how I'll be here in Congress.
You're listening to The Rotunda. I'm Tremel Gomes, chatting with Democratic Congressman Darren Soto.
Same as in Tallahassee, Democrats didn't have a lot of power here. The same thing here. How will you push through that? I think we saw with the ethics vote, the public came forward and, you know, chimed in. Of course, Zeus, as you say, Donald Trump chimed in as well. I don't know which one had the most weight. So how do you plan to overcome this?
Well, I think, first of all, you're talking to a guy who got nearly $40 million back to our district last year in the Florida Senate. So I know how to work across the aisle and to fund important projects. It's all about coalition building, relationships, and articulating why it's important. And then you have to find the right opportunities. You know, we hired a great staff of folks to help me figure out where the wind is blowing at any given time. Most of the projects and most of the policy, but also in the budgetary process to try to designate funding for different areas. And then, of course, we will have to lobby the new administration for different projects. But I think the key will be you stick to your values, you fight for what you believe is right, but you also need to maintain those relationships and find common ground. And the balance of those things is not an easy task, but it's one that my constituents expect me to make.
How's the weather adjustment? You know, I'm not feeling this weather. I'm hot in here, cold outside.
I left 70s in Celebration, Florida to come to 50s and rain here.
That's Democratic Congressman Darren Soto. Let's move on. This was just a sample of lawmakers that were accessible. I wasn't able to track down a Republican from Florida, and Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz declined to be interviewed. Next, we're off to a reception honoring Congressman Al Lawson, as you may recall. Congresswoman Corrine Brown featured on this program several times. She lost to Al Lawson, and he eventually made it in to Congress and is now talking about what his priorities are as he gets settled in.
It was really good having all my family here. A lot of people came up from all around and other places to congratulate me. So I feel real good about it, and I know we're going to move forward and going to do a great job. You know, we just trying to get our feet wet.
What about this chaotic day, man, even before you got here, the midnight vote and all of that stuff?
Yeah, well, that's something that should not have taken place, especially with no due process. And at the same time, during the holidays, is to try that kind of trickery. It really doesn't work. It's not good for anybody. If you want to break gridlock in Washington, then you don't do those sorts of things. And that's what is happening. And, you know, some kind of way we got to make sure that from the leadership, that the leadership does not allow that to happen. It's really chaotic. You know, there'll be a lot of articles about it, but it does not make sense.
I know you have a reception here waiting for you. What do you plan to do? What's your priority now that you're here? It's no more campaigning. You made it. What's on the top of your list to try and get done, even though being a Democrat, not in power, but what can you do? It's similar to Tallahassee.
Well, I've been a Democrat in a Republican House and Senate and the governor's office for over 16 years. And so it's no different here than it was in Florida. You know, I feel like if you continue to work with people, you can get a whole lot done. And so as a result, you got to meet with people, you got to work with them. And the more you work with them, and I'm a pretty aggressive person in working with people, things would change, and it would make a difference for Florida, because many of us, especially my colleague from Florida, in North Florida, with Dr. Dunn and the sheriff out of Panama, out of Jacksonville area, we're working for the same thing. So it's not that we're working for anything different. You know, we want to make sure that our education institution are taken care of. We want to make sure that we bring dollars to the state for transportation. You know, and I have a pet peeve, which is deal with student loans. Really want to make sure that we change the way they approach student loans. What the federal government and the big boys on Wall Street has done is really terrible. I have students paying on student loan for 18, 20 years, and that's unacceptable.
So what would you propose?
Propose is allowing them to refinance a loan, just like we refinance houses, you know. You know, the ones that have those 9% loans and so forth, just like we do in housing, and to bring it down to 2 and 2.5 or 3%. At the same time, is giving them the opportunity, more opportunity to work in certain areas so they can pay student loans back. For example, those individuals who work for the federal government, you know, money is set aside as much as about $800 a month for them to pay towards student loans. So we should make it more acceptable for other people who are not able to work for the federal government to have the opportunity to pay back student loan. And so that's a biggie, because, you know, I have in my district probably over 100,000 students, you know. So it becomes very important that if we're really serious about education, we give a pathway for those kids whose parents can't afford to pay their way to school, the opportunity to have a great deal of success without being burdened by it for most of their career.
All right. Well, I look forward to having you back on the program once you get your feet wet and all of that stuff, and talk more policy.
Okay, thank you.
That's Congressman Al Lawson. This is The Rotunda, a podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much for joining us. Joining The Rotunda, our gathering place. This is where you're going to hear all about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. It's simple. That's what we're all about. And we want to hear from you. Send us your tips, your suggestions, story ideas, the people you want to hear from. Let me know, and I will feature them here on the program. We're gearing up for session, but throughout you'll be hearing from Florida's leaders. From state agency heads to newsmakers, they will all be here featured on this program. So this is the place to be. Spread the word, The Rotunda. It's a free podcast. Subscribe now. Just grab your friends' phones and let them know that you're going to tune them in to this podcast. Visit the website at rotundapodcast.com, on social media at Rotunda Podcast. That's via Twitter, Instagram, or you can go to the Facebook page at The Rotunda. All right, so I took an amazing tour here of Washington, D.C. It has been an exceptional, a wonderful, an impromptu, an amazing trip. I have no complaints. I shouldn't complain. Considering I walked up to the National Museum of African American History and Culture without a pass. This was on New Year's Day. I walked in and I was lucky enough to be able to gain access. Those passes are sold out, they're hard to get, and it was just the right timing. And I was able to just walk in. Good thing I started out in the morning, and I ended up spending the entire day touring around this amazing museum. It really does take an entire day. I do not recommend for those who are planning to visit spending an entire day. It's a lot to take in, so I would break it up as best as you can. Break it up or just plan for your entire day being consumed with this museum. And the lunch was absolutely amazing. I didn't think I was going to be able to top that until a very close contact was able to give me access to a special White House tour. This was in the works for a couple of weeks, or for a few days now, that got canceled and it got pushed back, but it landed on Friday evening. And what a night. Standing in security, right behind me, Gwyneth Paltrow. Just after we got through security, I was listening to NPR to an interview of John Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry. And lo and behold, a few minutes later, John Kerry walks in the door and says hello to me. That was amazing. Following him, Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader of the United States House of Representatives. She walked in and graced a smile. Then Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who wanted to show off one of the famous photographs on the wall in the West Wing where I was standing, so I had to move over to the side so she can show it to her guest. I was totally freaking out to be so close to so much power. Oh, and we can't forget about Joe Biden. While standing in the hallway of the West Wing, security came over and asked all of us to stand to the side, clear the hallways. We were wondering, I was hoping that it would be President Obama, but it turned out to be Vice President Joe Biden, and he walked in with his personality, very friendly, small talk, said hello to everyone, and introduced his daughter, and they were off, whisked away to the party. As it turns out, that was the final party of the Obama administration, and it was a star-studded event. Celebrities from Oprah, Beyonce, you name it. I heard they were in the house as I was on the West Wing getting a really nice tour of the facilities and the rooms. It was just amazing. So that's how I gained access to the White House on what was the last hurrah for the Obama administration. I certainly will always remember this tour. There was terror once again as a gunman opened fire in Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood International Airport.
We have five, as you know, we have five individuals that have lost their life. We still have people fighting for their life in our hospitals. Whoever is responsible will be held accountable to the full extent of the law.
The suspected gunman in the shooting rampage in Fort Lauderdale, Esteban Santiago, he's 26 years old, an Iraq veteran, has been charged with federal crimes and could face the death penalty, the Justice Department recently announced. But just moments after the shooting, Governor Rick Scott made his way to Fort Lauderdale and went and stirred some controversy by refusing to call the current president, President Barack Obama.
I have reached out to President-elect Trump and spoken with to him and Vice President-elect Pence multiple times to keep them informed. And they told me whatever resources that we need from the federal government, they would do everything in their power to make that happen.
Reporters drilled and asked why didn't he call President Obama for assistance, the person who's able to provide assistance currently for those people who are in need.
No, President Obama has not reached out to me, but I've talked to Vice President Pence and President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Pence quite a few times. Just keep them informed.
Did you reach out to Obama?
I have not.
Would it be appropriate to call the president for resources?
I have a personal relationship with Vice President Pence and President-elect Trump, and I reached out.
Scott deflected questions about seeing whether this incident will impact gun legislation or gun laws in the state.
Any other questions?
Should there be a ban on weapons in airports?
Look, this is, it's horrible what happened here. It's not time to be political. It's a time to mourn those that lost their life, finish an investigation, and pray for everybody that is still fighting for their life.
And he's asking to not make this about politics, even though, in the height of the emergency, he found it an easy call to his friends, as opposed to President Barack Obama. And that's it for the bizarre political news of the week.
It's not time to do politics.
Well, that's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com. And join us again next week, right here, for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.